This is Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now for his Friday morning analysis of the Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, Wayne. What's new in the newsroom?
Well, I thought you were going to tell me what's new. Of course, it's the summer doldrum period for news all around. So there are a few things going on in the Old Dominion. The pretrial motions and the McDonald corruption trial have made a few headlines this week as former Governor Bob McDonald is preparing to go on trial with his wife later this month. And so far, the pretrial motions seem to have been decided mostly on the side of the prosecutors.
Yes, and of course, this trial beginning July 28th promises that this will be anything but a quiet Virginia summer. Steamy, definitely, but quiet, certainly not. As you point out, the former governor has been striking out in court in a lot of these pretrial motions, some of which are quite important, one of which took aim at the prosecution's contention that the McDonald's allowed themselves to be showered with Johnny Williams' beneficence. Of course, the government charges that they've been $165,000 in unreported gifts and cash, money, in return for the favors of the state. The trial judge, Judge Spencer, James Spencer, has made it clear that there are only certain things that he will allow uttered in court by the McDonald family's accountants. And this is important because the McDonald's are making the argument that they really were in pretty good shape financially. They didn't have to do this out of desperation, as the government claims. Now, of course, this stands in dramatic contrast with a lot of what the reporting has borne out. The emails to Johnny Williams by Mrs. Williams, by Mrs. McDonald, laying out the shambles that passed for the McDonald family's finances. And, of course, the former governor and his family, his sister in particular, snapping up all of these rental resort properties, the mortgages of which are now or were underwater. So there is going to be a lot of interesting chatter in court under oath. The one of the more interesting developments, I think, is that the judge has allowed the McDonald's an increasing number of blank subpoenas. This is a term of art, but it's important because what it means is the McDonald's do not have to fully identify or will not have fully identified their witnesses ahead of the trial, making it perhaps a bit more difficult for the prosecution to contest what these witnesses are apparently prepared to say in the McDonald's defense. And against that, again, that trial begins on Monday, July 28th.
Yes. It's the season for campaign finance reports. What are we learning about how well the candidates for the Senate and the House races are doing?
Well, you know, we have this Senate election. Mark Warner, the Democratic incumbent, seeking a second term. Ed Gillespie, the former Republican National Committee chairman, the Washington fixer, challenging him. No surprise that Warner, as the incumbent, maintains his significant advantage in fundraising. He now has over $14 million in the bank compared to Ed Gillespie. What I think is interesting about the fundraising at the Senate level, the Republicans are having some fun these days with a leaked memo from a Warner-friendly super PAC that warns that the president's difficulties in Virginia and around the country could mean real trouble for Warner. Of course, this is a point that Ed Gillespie himself has made, and this is one of the principal focuses of the Gillespie campaign. It's the old guilt by association card. Virginians shouldn't return Warner to Washington because he'll be there rubber stamping the policies of the Barack Obama administration. The Warner people, of course, arguing otherwise. The the really interesting fundraising news, maybe to the point of fundraising and fund and debts from campaigns. Eric Cantor, truly the $6 million man. He raised that much for his failed renomination bid. He's closing his campaign with a lot of unpaid bills, over $325,000. He's got a good deal of cash on hand. But, of course, the man who beat him, Dave Bratt, only spent about $200,000 and has raised about $400,000 since defeating Cantor in the June primary. And a lot of the money that Cantor raised in this cycle was spent, gobs of it were spent out of state on posh hotels and restaurants and whatnot. A lot of this roughing out just how far Eric Cantor goes or went, geographically speaking, that is, to raise money for his campaign.
Hmm. There are a few special elections as well for vacant General Assembly seats. Of particular interest here in the Richmond-Petersburg area is the vacant seat formerly held by Richmond Senator Henry Marsh. At least two members of the House of Delegates now say they're going to seek to fill out that term.
Yes, this is a majority African-American district that extends from Petersburg up to Richmond. Rosalind Dance, Dolores McQueen, announcing for that seat. Of course, Rosalind Dance raised the ire of a number of Democrats because of her seemingly cozy relationship with the Republican leadership over in the House. Another name that has been mentioned, I have not heard anything truly definitive yet on this, is Henry Marsh's daughter, Nadine, a lawyer, also who runs a program for impoverished and challenged children. She, too, has been mentioned for that seat. That vacancy will be decided concurrent with the general election in November. Of course, the big point behind the Henry Marsh retirement is that he's quitting his part-time job for a full-time state job with a much more substantial payday and an even more substantial retirement benefit.
All right. Afraid our time is gone for this time, Jeff, but we'll talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend.
Jeff Shapiro analyzes the political news in the Old Dominion for us each Friday morning here on WCVE's broadcast of Morning Edition.
It's Friday morning, and it's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green. Dr. Thomas Frieden had a pretty tough week.